learning, I'm seeking, I'm growing, I'm taking small little steps, but leaving everything, you know, just at a drop of a hat to follow, that's hard. If that's where you're at or that's where you've been, I want to encourage you a little bit, because we're going to look into the Bible and just really talk about that. Faith isn't an event. You know, your experience is the thunder and lightning and miracles. All of a sudden you have faith and everything changes. Like, faith, if you look in the Bible, isn't an event. It's actually a gradual process with kind of distinct stages. And no matter where you are today, even if you're not a believer, you're not convinced, or you've been away from Jesus for a while, no matter where you are, or you've been just here every single week and you've been reading the Bible, no matter where you are, you have a next step of faith, that God has a next step for you. So that's what I want to talk about. So the thing about this story about Jesus calling his disciples, specifically that was calling of Peter, James, and John, the fishermen, that's what happened, but that's not all that had happened. And that's not the full story, because in the Bible we have actually four different accounts of Jesus' life. We call those the four Gospels. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you compare this story with other stories, specifically story of that is recorded by Luke. Luke actually goes into more detail about what happened at that moment. So this is what I want to do. I want to look at that story, but from Luke's perspective. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 4. It's on page 718 in the paperback Bibles there, 718. And Luke chapter 4, I'm going to start with verse 38. So Jesus had already been starting his ministry. He's walking around in the area of Galilee, and he's teaching. He's doing stuff. He's doing some miracles. He's casting out some demons. He's healing some people. And then somehow in verse 38, it says, Jesus left the synagogue. He's just teaching, okay? Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. That's Peter. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever and asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on him. And it's kind of interesting. We see this story that the first time Jesus meets, Peter meets Jesus was in the home of his mother-in-law. Right? His mother-in-law was sick, and his mother-in-law somehow calls Jesus to come to her house because I'm sick, you know, and she heard a miracle worker was in the town, and somehow she sent word, and Peter was there. Number one, I didn't know he was married. We never talked about his wife or anything, right? But this is his mother-in-law. He was just there at her house, and Jesus comes in, and he bends over her, and he rebukes, you know, he cusses out the fever, basically. He's like, hey, get out of it, you know, fever, go away. He rebukes the fever, and you see what happens to Peter's mother-in-law. She was laying in bed sick, and next time she gets up and like, y'all want something to eat? It says she got up and fixed them something to eat, right? She was like, oh, I'm healed. You want something to eat? I can fix, you know. So she's like, okay. She's making food and, making chicken wings, and everyone's having a good time. And it says, verse 40, when the sun was setting, they were still in the house, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them and would not let them speak because they knew he was the Christ. And this is a picture. Peter was there. He was just visiting his mother-in-law. And this guy, Jesus, comes in and he heals his mother-in-law. He's like, what? Who is this person? She fixes them something to eat. And all of a sudden, all the people from all their neighbors start bringing in all their people. Hey, my daughter's sick. My cousin's sick. My mom's sick. Can you heal? And Jesus starts doing a healing service right outside there on their front porch. Right? And then crazy demon-possessed people start coming. And he started casting out demons. And Peter's like, what the heck's happening here? Right? He witnesses. He sees this. And he just watches it. It's kind of interesting. This is his first, when we read the story earlier from Matthew's account, it just seems like Peter was just fishing and somehow Jesus does this kind of Jedi mind trick. You will follow me. It's like, okay, I will follow you. Like, you know, like he never met him before. He never heard anything. He's like, no, The first time he met him was in the house of his mother-in-law. And he did something that was unexplainable. It's like, I don't know who this guy is, but I've never seen anything like this before. Okay? Story goes on. If you flip the page to chapter 5, and it says, verse 1, one day Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Gennesaret, that's the same as the Sea of Galilee. They had a couple different names there, depending on what culture you were from, what language you spoke. It says they were standing at the lake of Gennesaret, and there were people crowding around him. And it says one day. It didn't say the next day. It didn't say a week later. We don't know how much time happened, but it was just another time. Okay, it could have been like a month or however many weeks. You know, we don't exactly know, but it wasn't necessarily the next day. Okay, so they were standing around the lake of Gennesaret. The people were crowding around him, listening to the word of God. So what was happening was Jesus was there at the seashore at the lake, and he all this crowd, and he was teaching them. All right, he was teaching them all these things, and people were following him, coming and listening to him. But the crowd got bigger and bigger, and it says, verse 2, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. And the picture is this. This is where there's two boats. One boat was Peter's boat. The other boat was his, they were business partners, Zebedee's sons, James and John. Right, Peter and Andrew, they had one boat, and then James and John had another boat, and it got so crowded that this is what he did. Verse 3, he, Jesus, got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore, and then he sat down and taught people from the boat. So this is what's happening. He was on the seashore, and all these people was crowding up. Teachers, can you answer this question, and what about this? And he was getting all crowded. He's like, hey, I need some space here. So he sees the boat, and he says, Peter, do you mind if I get on your boat so I could teach these people? Because they're crowding around me, and they can't see me. The people in the back, I can't hear them. And so he got into. He asked Peter, can I get in your boat? And actually, he said, hey, can you push me out a little bit out there in the shore? You know, it was a calm lake. And so he, you know, was only a couple of feet into the water, but it gave him a time. And it says he sat down. And in their culture back then, rabbis, authoritatively, when you teach the word of God, you're just like, if you're walking around teaching, you're just some joker that doesn't really know what he's talking about. Rabbis, authoritatively, they sit down to teach. Right? If you're going to teach the word of God, you got to sit down. He's like, I'm not going to sit down in the sand. All these people, they won't see me. I need a place that's raised up, like in the synagogue, so I can sit down, so I can teach, because that's their culture. People who are sitting down, kings sit down to teach and to talk to people, right? Everyone else has to stand in the presence of the guy sitting down. He's like, I'm going to teach. I need a place to sit down. Peter, can I sit on your boat so the people could see me, because I'm about to teach? And so Peter's like, okay. Peter's listening. He's hearing all that stuff. Now Jesus is in his boat. He's like, okay, why are you in my boat? But it's like, okay, now it's becoming personal. And so he goes on. He's hearing this. He's teaching people. He spoke. He sat down and taught people from the boat. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night, and we haven't caught anything. So the picture is this. They were at the lake back then. You only fish at nighttime at that lake. And they were casting, I mean, they weren't using fishing poles. They put out nets to catch the fish, and they put it out all night, and they would gather it up, you know. And it says that night, they worked really hard. They put out nets all the way around, and they caught nothing all night. They just spent 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever, fishing. They caught nothing. And in the morning, as the daylight, they're like, okay, we're going back in. We got to tell, you know, mom that we didn't catch anything. We got nothing to sell at the market. You know, it was a bad day, but they were gathering their nets, and they were cleaning their nets, putting it away for the next night. And they just got finished doing that. And Jesus is like, hey, Peter, can you take me fishing in the middle of the day? And he's thinking, I know that you're somebody special, but I know you know a lot about stuff, but you're not a fisherman. It's like, you're a carpenter, aren't you? Like, that's something a carpenter would ask a fisherman to do, because you don't know anything about fishing. And he's thinking, I just cleaned the nets. It's already stored and put away. And you're asking me to go and get them all tangled up again, you know, in the middle. Like, and at that point, Jesus was asking Peter, you know what? Would you trust me to do something that you've done 1,000 times, but do it differently because I asked you so? And he asked him, would you just trust me in this? Right? And Peter says this. He says, Master, we worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. And the word master is enormous. It's like saying sir, like a sign of respect. Okay? It's not talking about this. You know, he doesn't call him Lord yet. That's different. He says, Master, we worked hard all night, haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. He's thinking, I don't want to do it. It's foolish. I know we're not going to catch anything because you're supposed to fish at night and we didn't even catch anything at nighttime. Now you're going to tell me to do it in the middle of the day. You're asking me to trust you. It makes no sense at all. But because you say so, because you're asking me to, I'm going to trust you in this, right? And I think about that process, that it was a test of faith at that moment. And the thing is that Peter must have been wrestling with different things. Like, what was at stake? What was he risking? He was risking hard work, you know? I'm tired. Risking embarrassment. Now, all these people now, there's probably 100, maybe 1,000 people on the seashore. They're going to say, look at this silly fisherman going, trying to fish in the daytime. What kind of fisherman is that? Right? So risking embarrassment, he comes back, like, again, doesn't catch anything, he's gonna, you know, he's risking all those things, but he says, because you say so. The question was, at that moment, what was at stake? Peter could have said, no, Jesus, I'm a fisherman, you're not. I let you in my boat, that's fine, so you can teach. You know all that Bible stuff, I don't, that's fine. But one thing I know is I know fishing, and I'm sorry, I can't do that, right? And he could have said no, but do you realize, I mean, what was at stake for Peter? What was at stake at that moment when Jesus asked, would you trust me? This is what's at stake. Can you put up that next slide? Imagine if Jesus said this, show them this picture. You guys see that? What if Jesus somehow said this? Peter, trust me, and he gives him this vision. Peter, you see that? You know what that is? That's called St. Peter's Basilica. St. Peter, who's that? Well, that's you. They're going to spend 116 years building your tomb. That's my tomb? Take you fishing? You can have the whole boat. Go on. You know? But Peter didn't know what was at stake at that moment. And Jesus didn't tell him what was at stake. He just says, take me fishing. If you trust me, you know, just trust me. He didn't give him a vision about how he was going to get used. And that's the point where you guys are at too, and where I am at, where Jesus is going to ask you to do something that does not make sense, that will require faith and risk and trust. And most likely, he'll ask you to do something that you've done 1,000 times before, but in a different way in order to trust him. Most likely, it'll be in one of the three areas that he'll ask you to do something in the area of your relationships, the area of your money, or the area of your profession. He's like, hey, you have been doing things a certain way your whole life. Would you just do what you've been doing, but do it differently for me? Would you forgive that person? Would you go make that phone call and reconcile that relationship? You know, would you take that money that you worked so hard to earn and would you invest it to help someone else? You know, would you make a change? You know, that relationship is not good. Would you make a change in that relationship? So he's going to ask you to do something that you've done 1,000 times, but differently. And it makes no sense. And the thing is, you don't know what is at stake at that moment. Right? When I was 15 years old and Jesus asked me to follow him, I didn't know what was at stake. If I would have said no, I would have never met my wife because she happened to be the daughter of the pastor of the church I was going to. Never had my kids. City Lights Church would not be here in Long Beach or in Orange County if I would have said no. I didn't know what was at stake. I was a 15-year-old kid saying, it's kind of hard to trust you. So what I'm saying is, You don't know what's at stake when Jesus asks you, will you trust me? Peter didn't. And it was like, look, that's my tomb. Okay. I mean, it would be amazing if God gave you a vision about what is going to happen. It would be easier. It's like, yeah, that's no brainer. But it wouldn't require any faith, would it? If he showed you how it was going to turn out. He said, just trust me. Right? Story goes on, verse 6. So he brings Jesus out to the middle of the lake. They throw down their nets. It says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And Jesus, and the net, the boat that Jesus was in, they threw it in. And they caught so much fish that they couldn't even bring it in. They called it ashore to the other boat to say, hey, could you come help us, right? And they pulled up the next boat next to them. And they filled both boats where both boats was starting to sink because there was so much fish filled up that thing, right? And it says it began to sink. It says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. And he says, go away from me, Lord. I am, and notice, he didn't call him master, which is like, sir. He says, Lord, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. So the picture is this. In that moment, he realized who Jesus was. And he realized that if Jesus is the Son of God, he realized that who he was. I'm a sinful man that's not deserving to be in the presence of God. Right? And he had a sign that was undeniable to him. Right? This is a moment where in the future when he's raising his kids, he's going to ask his kids. The kids ask him, Dad, when did you actually start following? What was the thing that you saw that made you follow Jesus? It's like, hey, kid, let me tell you about this, how I knew Jesus was a person. I took him fishing. We got a big old load of fish. They're like, that's it? Right? If you tell that story to someone else, tell that to me, if I saw that, I was like, huh. That's curious. I wonder if that happens a lot. It's not personal to me because I don't fish. But for Peter, that sign was intensely personal because he knew that that shouldn't have happened. Right? And it only happened because he trusted Jesus. And it became clear in that moment. And this is the thing. Some of you are waiting for a sign. And the sign to you will be personal and unique. Brother Lloyd back there says, God was there protecting him when the cars went around him. That was personal. If he goes and tells someone else, they're like, I think that was a coincidence, right? It wouldn't mean anything to someone else, but it meant something to our brother back there, right? It's personal, right? So God shows up in a personal way to make it clear to Peter who he was, and it was a sign. And you notice, and he says, at the end part, verse 10, it says, Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled up their boats on the shore and left everything to follow him. So that's the picture about when Peter starts following. You notice it wasn't this instantaneous moment where he just first met Jesus and Jesus said, come follow me. He just left everything and followed. You notice he was in his house. He was listening to him teach. He was seeing him do all this stuff. He trusted a little bit. And it was the stages. It built on one another. So this is what I want to do. If you have your sermon notes inside your programs, I want to talk about a stage. Stages of us following. There's five stages here. The reason why I want to talk about this is I want you to find out what stage you're in and take the next step. You know, that we all have a next step. There's a next step for us. Stages of following. The first stage is this. You see God at work around you. You see God at work around you. God is always at work around us. The question is, do you see it? Do you recognize it? Or is it just a coincidence? You know, someone stands up and shares about how, they were short on money for rent and but God came through. And for that person, God was real. And you sit there and you listen to it, you're like, I'm not so sure. That might have been coincidence. Or, you know, that car accident thing and God protect. So, you know, I'm not so sure, right? But you see God at work around you in someone else's life. The question is, do you recognize that it is God doing it? Right? Do you see that it is God and not just a coincidence? So the first step is to see that God is at work, that he's real, he's active, he wants to be involved in your life. Right? You look around and you're thinking everything is random and God's not anywhere to be seen, but you gotta see things through the eyes of faith, that God is trying to get your attention. Right? So stage number one, maybe some of you are right there right now. And the reason why you got drawn into church is you're like, you know what? I see God doing something unexplained that I can't explain in someone else's life. Maybe he's trying to get my attention, okay? Second stage is this. You sit and listen. Sit and listen. And this is where Peter was sitting there at the seashore. Maybe he went to the synagogue to hear Jesus teach. And it actually takes time and effort to come in and investigate. Maybe, maybe this is where some of you are at right now. You're at the sit and listen stage. You know God is trying to do something, trying to teach you, trying to get your attention. And maybe the next step for you is just to keep coming back to church. Maybe this is new for you. Keep coming back week after week. Join a small group Bible study. Right? Read the Bible on your own. If you don't own a Bible, take one of these paperback Bibles with you on your way out. It's our gift to you. Sit and listen. And investigate. Ask questions. Okay? Stage three is this. Allow God inside. Allow God inside. This is where Jesus asked Peter, "Peter, you mind if I get in your boat? Can I get in your boat?" And for Peter, he was one of the crowd at that moment. And then Jesus, and then something is like, okay, if I let him in my boat, it becomes personal now. You could be out there and go to church and you're like, you know what? I'm going to sit in the back row and I'm listening. That's fine. I don't, you know, but it's not personal, right? There is a point in time when God says, would you just let me inside a little bit? Let me get inside of your front door, right? I'm not talking about the whole house, you know, I'm not talking about me. Just let me inside a little bit. Make it personal, right? You're no longer a part of the crowd. Not necessarily a commitment, but make it personal. And I would say for some of you here, that needs to be your prayer. You say, Jesus, I'm going to open up the door of my life to let you inside. I'm not ready to give you my whole life yet, but Jesus, I'm going to let you inside. Right? Would you speak to me? Would you reveal yourself to me? And just open yourself up. Right? Make it personal. And then stage number four is that you need to take a step of faith. Take a step of faith. Something that involves trusting, risking. It's what Jesus, what Peter said. Jesus, you want me to take you fishing? That makes no sense. It's not going to work. I could give you 10 reasons why that's a bad idea. But because you asked me to, I'm going to do it. You can say that when Jesus comes and he says, you know what? There's this part of your life that you need to give to me. You need to change. You're like, that makes no sense. This is my security, this person, this job, this thing, this money. And if I trust you with that, it's hard. It makes no sense for me to give away money that I've earned to help someone over here. It makes no sense. But because you say so, I'm gonna do it. It makes no sense for me to break away from this relationship. It brings me security. I'm gonna be alone without this person. But you know, I know he's bad or she's bad for me and all this stuff. But it's still my security. It makes no sense. But because you say so, I will do it. Right? It's a step of faith because you say so. Now, I mean, remember, it will probably involve one of those three areas: a relationship, your money, or your profession. Right? Take a step of faith. And then step number five, last, is to leave everything and follow. Leave everything and follow. You notice this is where something happens and it was a personal thing where Peter says, Jesus, I'm a sinner. You're the Son of God. I don't deserve to be in your presence. And this is the point where you realize who God is and who you are. And I want to talk to those of you who call yourself a committed Christian for a second here. You've been a Christian all your life, and or you've been following Jesus, you've been trying to do the right thing. You may feel good about where you're at because you've been asking yourself, okay, do I go to church? Okay, I check that box. Do I believe in Jesus? I check that box. Am I faithful in doing this? And you're thinking, okay, I'm doing well. But I don't want to ask any of those questions. The question I want to ask is, are you following? It's not, do you believe in Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Right? If you're following Jesus, let me ask you this other question. Are you comfortable where you're at right now? Most likely, if you're comfortable where you're at, you're not really following Jesus. Because if you're really following Jesus, he's going to ask you to do something uncomfortable. Because at first, he asked Peter to leave your nets. Later on, he's going to say, Peter, I want you to give me your life. They're going to crucify you. Follow me. Right? So what the question is, what is your next step? You know? Is it to come and listen, to open up a part of your life? Is it to take a step of faith? Figure out what your next step is and take it. Let me give you a closing thought. Closing thought is this. Fill in the blank here. You will never find out what God has planned for you unless you take the next step. You will never find out what God has planned for you unless you take the next step. Find out what that step is and take it. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for loving us and being so patient with us, not expecting us to understand, to get it on day one. We thank you that you've been calling us and that we ask, Lord, that you would give us the faith and the courage to take the next step. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.